Blog Talk Radio.
We would like to welcome you tonight to the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Voldea.
All right, and that is what they call a cold intro. No music, no fluff, no puff, just an introduction and me talking to you. So this is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Voldea. And I thank you very much for joining us this fine, fine day. It is very hot in Wisconsin. It's in the 80s and it's humid. Apparently I did something and I tweaked my back. I was carrying my daughter on my shoulders yesterday and a backpack because we went for a longer walk and such. I think I tweaked my back because it's hurting pretty good. But here I am. Last week, our internet decided to give out on us. It's not like the devil isn't fighting, but it is our duty as children of God to fight back. When the devil advances, our duty is to push him back, because if we allow him room, if we allow him space to maneuver, if we allow the enemy to take ground from us as children of God, then it will embolden him all the more. It will make him that much more resolute in attempting to overtake everything that is sacred and make it into something profane. Because that's what the enemy does. That's what the darkness does. It conquers not just for the sake of conquering. It conquers so that it could turn that which it conquered into something unrecognizable. And this is one of those things that we need to acknowledge as sons and daughters of God. This is one of those things that we need to acknowledge as soldiers of the cross. It's that we are in a battle that is far, far more reaching than just territory. I could care less about any given denomination and how many churches they're shuttering, because if they're not preaching the truth, then they shouldn't be in the church business, as it were, anyway. Because I've been getting these woe-is-me emails, oh, did you hear about the so-and-so denomination? Well, these are the same denominations that saw it perfectly fit and reasonable to march in homosexual pride parades and take boisterous glee in men's sin and depravity, because they wanted to seem tolerant and all-inclusive. They wanted to seem as though they acknowledged their fellow man and their depravity, and not just acknowledged it, but validated it and praised it. And so the fact that such churches are shuttering their doors, praise God, God bless, hope more happens. I'm sorry. I think there needs to be a weeding. I'm not going to say a sifting, because first we've got to get the weeds out. There needs to be a weeding of the household of faith so that what remains is actually viable, so that what remains actually feeds people, so that what remains actually preaches the gospel, and not this diluted nonsense about embracing everyone's flaws and everyone's peccadilloes and everyone's perversions And turning a blind eye to them because, well, God is love. Yes, God is love. In his love, he sent his only begotten son, that whomsoever believeth in him might not perish but have everlasting life. But once you believe in Jesus, that faith compels you to be transformed. Not to be conformed to the ways of the world, not to be conformed to your former lusts, but to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be transformed by the blood of Christ, to be made a new creature in him. Yep, I started off preaching, so you know I've been chomping at the bit, as it were. Last week, I had a lot to talk about, and it just, I tried every which way, and the internet would just come on, turn off, come on, turn off, and I was in the office. I'm here until the family goes back to Europe, because I could make do with one crying baby, being my daughter. She doesn't cry that much. But two crying babies, they egg each other on, apparently. So one of them starts to cry, and then the other chimes in, and the other one wants to be louder than the other. And so it crescendos to the point where you feel like taking a walk. So here I am in the office. I was here last week. Again, our apologies for not being able to come on, for not being able to share truth with you. But we are here today, and there has been a lot that has gone on in these past 2 weeks, hasn't there? It would seem by all accounts that another Supreme Court justice will be appointed by none other than Donald Trump. And the man he chose, let's just say there could be worse candidates out there. Now, I know the people who choose not to see any silver lining in anything. All they want is storm clouds and martyrdom. They won't see this as a positive, but let me just say this, and I know it'll anger some people, and that's fine. If you don't like my voice, if you don't like the things I say, well, your respite is but a click away. So let me get this out. Let me say this, because I've pondered it. I've thought about it a lot. And if my wife doesn't have to explain to my 4-year-old daughter why daddy's being handcuffed and dragged away, for daring to call homosexuality a sin, then at least as far as I'm concerned, that's a win. Because a lot of people that seem... Hello? Well, this isn't fun. Oh, devil. All right, well, just got disconnected. So if you are hearing my voice and you have my phone number, give me a call and tell me that you're hearing my voice. If you're not, then I guess I will fill dead air without any apparent knowledge of whether or not I am being heard. I'm going to try to call Gino because this should not be happening.
Hey, Mike, you are on the air.
Yeah, Gene. I am?
You're on the air. You're full.
Okay, because I got disconnected.
Yep,
that English lady came on and said, thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. And it just disconnected
okay.
me.
All right, you're back on.
So, all right, I'm on the air. This is what professionalism looks like, brothers and sisters. Now, it happens. You know what? I'm sorry that it happens, but sometimes it happens. And as you can see, the enemy is not happy. He tries and tries and tries, but we know that his inevitable eventual failure is a certainty. So if we can take solace in anything, it's that reality that the enemy's failure is a certainty. So what was I talking about? Because I was trying to make a very profound point, and that's when I got disconnected. I remember what it was. The second Supreme Court nominee. Being chosen by Donald Trump. I don't know the man. I know some people have a problem with the fact that he's a Jesuit. But even so, even being a Jesuit, it would seem he is very pro-life, which is a plus for me. And that it is very unlikely that he will send Christians to prison for preaching the Bible. And as I was saying, hopefully you heard, if I could put off explaining to my 4-year-old daughter or having my wife explain to my 4-year-old daughter why her daddy is being taken away in handcuffs because he dared to say homosexuality is a sin and a perversion on live radio, then I'm okay with that. Because this is what would be happening in this country had it gone different. I guarantee you. Imagine this. Close your eyes and imagine this. Hillary Clinton would be appointing a second Supreme Court justice. And I guarantee you, it wouldn't be someone that's pro-life, and it wouldn't be someone that is pro-faith. Like I said, I don't know this man from what I've read so far about him. Seems like a decent enough guy. He spent yesterday feeding the homeless. So if it was the other side, the nominee would have probably been spending the day on a float in a homosexual pride parade, you know, in a captain's hat and a rainbow shirt. So I'm okay with what's happening as far as Supreme Court nominees. This is the distinction that we have to make. And I know that those who disagree will disagree until the bitter end. However, this is the distinction that we have to make. God will judge the man. You and I have to live with the policies. So, in light of that truth, the policies that are being implemented, the things that are being done, even those who hate him with bloodlust, have to grudgingly agree that, hey, he's probably more conservative in his proclamations than anyone would have dared hope. I know, yes, the man's been married a few times, so have many of your favorite televangelists, but that doesn't stop some people from sending him straight to the pits of hell. I for one, not so quick to pass judgment because I'm not wearing a black robe, and God did not appoint me to be judge. All I know is this. God will judge the man. You and I have to live with the policies. And right now, the policies seem to be very pro-faith. They seem, look, for the first time ever since it was passed, there's actually a glimmer of hope that Roe versus Wade might be reversed. I'm not holding my breath. However, the fact that there's a glimmer of hope that it'll be reversed is astounding to me. And herein is another thing that I'd like to point out. Whenever somebody, let's just say, badmouths another individual, whoever that individual might be, I not only look to who his friends are, but first and foremost, I look to whom his enemies are. If the right people hate you, then you're okay in my book. Like I said, if you want to know, truly monumental, the fact that Donald Trump is appointing 2 Supreme Court justices, perhaps 3, even as many as 4 within the next few years. Look at the utter just meltdown of the other side. That's all you have to do. By the same token, look at who detests this man the most. It's the people who had a vision for this nation that was as far away from what you and I would consider normal and Judeo-Christian centered as you could get. It's those people that are losing their minds. It's those people that are throwing tantrums and calling for all-out riots and civil war and everything else. Think on that. And before you become very vocal about your hatred regarding this man, consider who you are putting your hand in with, who you are casting your lot with. Again, I'm nobody. There's a handful of people that listen to this program, and half the time I annoy that handful of people too. So I'm not a defender by any means of Donald Trump, and even if I were, who'd listen to me anyway? But I'm a pragmatist. I'm a realist. I need to get certain points across because I'm seeing believers whose hatred has utterly blinded them to the fact that there is no Jesus in their rhetoric. There is no Jesus in their declaration, in their pronouncements, and in their vitriol. Look, I said it 2 weeks ago, and I am more certain today than ever before that by the time this is said and done, there will likely be an attempt on this man's life, because he is attempting to upturn absolutely everything all at once. I wish I had his energy when I was 30. Never mind now at 43. But he's taking on literally the world. And there are factions within factions in the government that he's, let's just call it, annoying, that don't take too kindly to being exposed, don't take too kindly to being contradicted, and that don't take too kindly to being called on the carpet. Look, something happened today that to me was astounding. There's no other way to put it. It was astounding. Donald Trump called out Germany for being dependent on Russia for their natural gas. All the while, Germany is the same country that's asking the U.S. for protection against Russia. Well, what are we supposed to believe? Either you're in bed with the Russians and getting gas from them and you're going to dance to their tune because you've got nowhere else to get it from and you don't want Germans getting cold. The U.S. to defend you against big bad Russia. But see, this is the incestuous relationship of international politics. And in comes the man that sees things just by the numbers, completely different. And he off the cuffs 80% of the time. But his instinct is good. So instinctually, he sees the perversion of Germany getting 70% of their natural gas from Russia, all the while saying they need protection from Russia. But he's making a lot of very powerful enemies. And so once again, I beseech you, pray for him and his protection, because nothing will allow or cause this nation to descend into chaos faster than what certain individuals have planned. It will be exactly as it was foretold. There will be an internal revolution. There will be chaos in the streets. Started by the communists, and I know everybody was laughing. Oh, communists! What communists? Well, here they be. Lots and lots of them, enough that they voted in an open communist. Though there's no distinction for me between socialist and communist. I'm sorry, I'm not going to split hairs. A cat is a cat. I don't care if it's got a fuzzy tail or if it's a bald cat. It's still a cat. Communism is still communism, no matter how you try to dress it up. And there's enough communists out there, or at least enough people who are ignorant enough to believe that socialism is a different beast from communism, that they voted in a young lady who is absolutely demented, calling for the abolishment of ICE and other things, because who needs borders? Well, apparently nations do. Well, yeah, other nations, but not us. Why not? Why is the nation that is giving handouts to every other nation in the world supposed to also be the only nation in the world not to have borders and actually prize its own citizens above illegals who try to cross the border illegally? I don't know. Just food for thought. One of those brain teasers. Because in case you haven't noticed, a lot of the world is having problems with what is now being coined or termed as economic migrants. Italy realized that not so many Italians in Italy anymore. And if they hope to keep a government and if they hope to keep speaking Italian, they have to do something drastic. And so I read this. The new minister or interior minister of Italy has taken a hard line. And I need you to understand that this is about 60 migrants, not hundreds of thousands that yearly assail our borders. 60 migrants. Rome, Italy's far-right interior minister, Matteo Salvini, said over 60 migrants on board an Italian Coast Guard ship, which docked Thursday in Sicily, were not authorized to disembark. So basically, they're never going to touch Italian soil, thereby they can't claim asylum. The 67 migrants, including women and children, oh no, stuck on the Coti, or Dicioti is what the ship is called, at the port in Trapani, are at the center of a row after a handful reportedly revolted after their rescue amid fears that they would be returned to Libya. So a rescue ship was kind enough to pick these people out of the sea, and then they took the boat over. Because that's how you convince people of giving you clemency and allowing you to dwell within their lands is, you know, by taking over ships and threatening to kill the crew. Now, this is what Salvini said. I am not giving permission to anyone to disembark from Dicioti. If anyone does so, they will take responsibility for it. I guarantee you that doesn't mean they're going to get a slap on the wrist and a candy bar. Initially picked up by the supply vessel, the Vostalsa, over the weekend, the migrants were subsequently transferred to a Coast Guard ship after staff made emergency calls to authorities in Rome. According to Italian media, sailors aboard the Vostalsa locked themselves in the control room and called for help after two migrants with mobile phones and GPS realized that the boat was heading south back towards Libya, sparking a furious reaction from some on board. Migrants trying to reach Europe are desperate not to be returned to Libya, where they face abuse and rape in detention centers. Pray tell, who is responsible for Libya's current climate and predicament? Ah! Remember a guy named Gaddafi? See, the good thing about Gaddafi is that he wasn't a zealot. He was an opportunist. He was shady, he was dirty, he was nasty. He had that oily hair that just, ugh. But Gaddafi wasn't a zealot. He didn't kill his people. There seemed to be peace in the land until one of Madame Hillary Rodham Clinton's friends decided that since he'd invested in mobile hospitals, it would be an opportune time to create chaos somewhere in the world and actually profit from said mobile hospitals. And then we all saw the pictures of Gaddafi killed, savaged by a shotgun and all the other nice things that they did to him before dragging his body through the streets. In every nation, at any given time, you will have a certain percentage of the citizenry that is either unhappy, that desires total chaos, or that has been duped into believing that the other guys can do a better job at running the country because, hey, they promised a car in every garage and a rabbit in every stew pot. And so all that was needed in Libya was for American protections to be removed from said Gaddafi. We largely, or at least the former administration, responsible for the crisis in Libya. And I don't know how they're going to fix it. But the Italians are starting to see the light and go, all right, we can't turn Italy into Libya. And so we have to take a hard line and say this far, no further. Although I'm sure that Mr. Salvini is a compassionate individual. And it's 67 people. Nope. You can't get off the ship. Stay on the ship till the matter is resolved. And I promise you, no matter how many protesters and how many people picket, these individuals will be returned to Libya. Because I think it may be a little bit too late, but Europe is starting to wake up to the realization that experiencing over the past decade was nothing less than a soft invasion. And now they have to deal with the millions of individuals who have gotten used to receiving free stuff from the government, who hold no allegiance to the particular nation they happen to reside in, whose religious affiliation allows them to visit violence upon the infidel at the drop of a hat. That is Europe today. Coming soon to America, if things keep going on the way they have been. So, I am not at all dismayed that a second Supreme Court justice is about to be confirmed. Here's hoping that a third and fourth follow suit. Because the people that are being picked are head and shoulders above anyone the other side would have picked had they been in power. And even after all this time, they're still on this Russia thing, which there's nothing there. It was a made-up thing, and yet this is the only thing they're grasping at. And again, they're going to get desperate. And desperate people do desperate things. How bad it's going to get, I don't know. Is this it? I don't know. But you see the potential of it. You see how easily it could all unravel in the manner of days. Because there's a lot of people in this country with a lot of pent-up rage and anger. I don't know where it's from, but it's there. And it's looking for an outlet, is the best way I can put it. Rage builds up until it finds an outlet. And I know that you've all heard the term blind rage. That means that reason has abandoned the action. It means that the individual caught up in it is no longer thinking through the consequences of his actions. He has become but a brute beast acting out his rage. And I think this kind of rage and anger is evident on both sides. Because our side hasn't realized that the other side never gives up. They keep hammering away. They keep trying to chisel at the foundation of this nation however they can. You take away their chisel, they'll gnaw at it with their teeth. Because they're fueled by anger. They're fueled by hatred. And the thing that's driving them over the edge is the fact that none of the things they predicted about this president is coming to pass. The nation was supposed to be bankrupt by now. The stock market was supposed to be in free fall. Journalists and Christians and everyone in between were supposed to be in prison because the man's such an egomaniac he can't take criticism. Now, I don't know how you define criticism. However, when you wish that the man's 10-year-old son be put in a cage with pedophiles, I don't see criticism there. I just see hate. I just see vileness pouring forth. See, we use the word criticism to cover a lot of things that are not criticism. And some so-called Christians are just as guilty as these pseudo-starlets in Hollywood for doing the exact same thing. When you wish ill upon somebody or their family, when you try to instigate violence against a sitting president, it's not a criticism. Learn how to define words first. Sure, criticize the man for everything from the way he looks to what he eats to what he says to how he lives. Criticize him. You're free to do it. Welcome to freedom. But don't wish ill on his family and him. Don't wish that pedophiles have their way with his 10-year-old son in a cage. Are there no limits? Apparently not. Well done, you sanctimonious Christians. Well done. Bravo. Good job. Hooray. So your hatred has blinded you. It has sucked away ounce of love you may have held in your heart. And so now it's just blind rage, and I don't see the reason for it. Like I said, chances are better than good that at this juncture we'll not have to explain to my daughters why I'm being arrested for calling sin, sin. At least not for a little while yet. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a good thing. See, I'm not one of those individuals that's overly eager about seeing the end of all things. I'm very excited and anxious to be with my Father in heaven, don't get me wrong. But understanding the Word of God as we must, we have to conclude that before we all get to heaven, as it were, we're going to have to see a lot of gnarly stuff here on earth. And if that could be put off for a season, and if I could still write and preach and talk and do this radio program for a little while longer, I'm sorry, I'm not going to begrudge God. I'm not going to shake my fist. I'm not going to be Jonah sitting under a palm tree, bemoaning the fact that I didn't see the destruction of an entire nation. Woe is me, they are not dead. Woe is me. But see, you just can't get through to some people. Their absolute hatred is blinding them to the point that reason has been snuffed out. So, yes, two Supreme Court justices. Now, if you know Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know that she is no spring chicken. And so it may be three by year's end. And that would likely send the other side just ballistic. Look, again, I keep feeling the need to repeat this because it's important. And you need to make the distinction. God will judge the man. You and I have to live with his policies. And as long as those policies err on the side of freedom, hallelujah. I'm not mad. I'm sorry. I'm not angry that I'm not in prison yet. I'm not angry that I'm not being tortured for my faith. I'm not angry that I'm not being persecuted as I would be had the other side won. I just am not. And I don't know what it says about people who are. There's a difference between suffering for your faith and having a persecution complex. And wanting to be persecuted just so you can say that you were persecuted. When just sorry to burst the bubble for anyone, but when persecution comes to this nation, you're not going to have anyone to brag to about the fact that you were persecuted. If you were thinking about spinning one night in jail into a multinational ministry replete with private jets and mansions, oh my, not going to happen. So it's wise. It's prudent to pray for peace. It's prudent. It's wise to desire that this president succeed, where all of the animus and hatred is coming from. Again, whom have you cast your lot in with? Seeing the type of individuals who detest this president in the same measure that you do. A man who wished that a 10-year-old boy be thrown in a cage with pedophiles. That's who you cast your lot in with. So, there you go. Now, I want to bring this back around because I think the more positive things that we see coming out of this administration, the more of a tendency we have to take a breath, to relax, to enjoy the sun on our faces and plan a golf outing or two. The moment you are at ease is the moment everything will be upended, because the other side has not taken a breath. They've not relaxed for an instant. They continue to grow in their madness, fueled by their own echo chambers. And they will not stop until this president is no longer in office. And then when the vice president takes office, guess what? Same hatred, same vitriol, same desire for violence and everything else. Because I want to dispel a myth here. I've heard it said often that the other side loves this country as much as we do. They just see it differently. No, they don't. I'm sorry. The other side wants to see the utter destruction of this nation. They want to make it something it was never intended to be. They want to do away with what is known as the Constitution. They do not like the notion of a constitutional republic. They want socialism. They want concentrated power. They want you to be dependent on them. We can dispense with these foolish little quirks like elections so that we can dispense with freedom of speech and all those, you know, backward thinking ideologies. They were so close. They were so close to getting everything they wanted, everything they dreamed of. And a guy with a propensity for Big Macs, orange hair, and a knack of reading people sort of threw a wrench into their works. That's why they hate him so much. These are the same people who posed with him, who laughed with him, because then he was not danger to their utopia. Back then, he did not pose threat to their perfect little socialist experiment. Now it's completely different. Now he's the enemy. He's the orange-haired devil. And if you separate the man's boisterous nature from the things he said and promised during his campaign and what he's actually doing now, you know what? Kind of consistent. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Because far too many believers are taking the approach of, I'll just sit back and wait and see what happens. That's how the other side almost won the last election. Look, if you believe that certain things are worth fighting for, determine what it is that those things are, and roll up your sleeves for Pete's sake. It's easy to sit under a palm tree and eat nuts and judge people. Easy to be a Jonah. It's easy to find fault in absolutely everything everyone around you does. But see, certain individuals have gone further than that, and they're doing something that Jonah never did, which is proclaim that they are the only ones in possession of truth. That if you do not see things their way, then heaven is forevermore closed off to you. If you do not wish ill on this man known as the President of the United States, if you do not wish that his son be in a cage with pedophiles, well, heaven is forever closed off to you. Because they are the self-appointed judge, jurors, and executioners of God's people. And if you do not fall in line with the way they think, if you do not praise them for their foolish words, if you dare point out the inconsistency of their predictions, or just how far off the mark they've been time and time again. Well, then there you go. St. Peter, he's going to tell you to scat. Because they've got an in. I'm very troubled by anyone who declares that they have an in. By anyone who declares that you must see issues that are of no salvific significance their way, or that you will forever suffer the flames and torments of Hades. That kind of mindset is troublesome to me. As far as salvific issues, yes. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Yes. Do you believe he came in the flesh? Yes. Do you believe he is Lord and Savior of all? Yes. Do you believe he died and rose again? Yes. All right, salvific issues. Do you believe Donald Trump's the Antichrist? I don't see the evidence for it. To hell with you! Forevermore to hell with you! Huh? But it's not a salvific issue. I'm not ready to call someone the Antichrist just because they have a comb over. Then you are lost and forsaken in your own deception. So yes, this is what Christendom is dealing with now. I don't know. I'm gonna get in trouble for this, but if you are so inclined, look up what a cult is, and we'll go from there. Because there's a lot of believers that have adopted cult-like mindsets, and I don't know how far they're gonna get, but I know that they're gonna shipwreck a lot of people's faith on the way to their failure and their downfall. And that's what bothers me. That's what saddens me. It's the fact that they're dragging good people along to their ultimate demise. Because hate and despondency will only fuel you for so long. After that, you're just empty. And emptiness is fallow ground for bitterness. And we all know what bitterness is. So, be wary. Be very, very wary of who you lend your heart to and who you lend your ear to. And if any man, including myself, insists that a non-salvific issue must be adhered to in order for you to know the reward of the Father, in order for you to enter the gates of heaven, then step back slowly, turn around and run. Because even Jesus was a pragmatist. If they're not against us, then they're for us. Let them be. If they're not actively trying to silence you, if they're not actively trying to bankrupt you because you're not willing to bake a cake celebrating homosexual unions, if they're not actively trying to imprison you because you dare stand in front of an abortion clinic and say there is an option, there is a better way, you don't have to go through with this. You don't have to murder that life growing inside you. If they're not against you, why dwell on it? Why try to nitpick every single thing to death, all the while not doing the things that you were called to do because you're too busy vilifying everyone else? Just a thought. So here we are. Two Supreme Court justices. And the left has lost its mind. Imagine what they're going to do when it's three. But you know what? You have to allow yourself to smile. You have to allow yourself to call a win a win. But after you've smiled and acknowledged the win, get back into the fight. We were not given this respite to rest. We were given this respite to consolidate our forces and to make sure that the devil didn't take another inch of ground. He's still trying. Every day, nonstop, he's still trying. Tried last week, and we couldn't get on the internet. Tried this week, because the program just disconnected itself. But here we are. We must persevere. Because only he who endures to the end shall be saved. I don't know if you listen to this program, but if you do, Olga Gomez, thank you for your kind words and thank you for your gift. It was unexpected and much appreciated. If you don't listen to the program, then you don't know who Olga Gomez is, but say a prayer for Olga and ask that God bless her because she's a very kind-hearted lady. Next week, hopefully, Lord willing, we will be back. I will be in studio. And I'm hearing Gino
in
my headset.
I'll be down in just a few minutes.
All right. I can hear you, Gino. I don't know who you're going to be down to, but mute it. Mute it. There you go. Professionalism at work again. But this is who we are. You know us. We're not the most polished folk, but we're sincere. And I tell you the truth without filter, because you deserve to know the truth without filter. Are living perilous times. However, even in perilous times, we can catch a win here or there. Now, how will this man be on the court? Time will tell. Will he be better than anything Hillary Clinton would have appointed? Most assuredly. So as I said, and I will continue repeating, the fact that my wife won't have to explain to my daughters why I'm being arrested for a few years yet is a good thing to me. Now, those of you who can't wait to be persecuted, I'm sure that you could find a country you can get in trouble in. But before you do, I would encourage you vehemently to inquire as to whether or not it is what God wants you to do. You see, one thing that we have to understand is that none of the heroes of the faith set out to be heroes of the faith. None of them walked it through intellectually and said, I'm going to spend some time in prison, I'm going to get electrocuted, or I'm going to get whipped, or I'm going to get beheaded, or I'm going to get crucified upside down, and then they're going to build a cottage industry around my name. See, there was none of that. Nobody played that through. The only thing they did was they were faithful to the calling to which they were called. And they were faithful to the end. They weren't eager for persecution to find them. But they did pray for strength. That when persecution did come, they would stand firm. That when trials and tribulations visited them, they would not waver in their faith. And that when they were called upon to perhaps make the ultimate sacrifice, to give up their lives for the cause of Christ, they would not hesitate an instant in doing so. But no, they didn't seek out persecution just to make a name for themselves. They didn't seek out persecution to go on a circuit and write a book and get clap happy with Benny Hinn. Make sure you want to do the will of God. Not persecution for persecution's sake. So if it can be delayed, then hallelujah. If it must come tomorrow, then hallelujah. I am at peace because I know that my Redeemer lives. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for being with us. May God bless you. May God keep you. And Lord willing, even with all the bugs, we will see you back here next week. All right. God bless and good night. Gino, if you're on here, you can say something. If not,
I am on here.
Stay feeny. All right, buddy.
All right, my brother. God bless you. Thank you. It was a good show, Mike, and we'll get it up on YouTube tomorrow. Yeah, there were a couple little distractions. I ended up getting asked to do a church service at a UW Wisconsin campus, believe it or not, tonight, for about 100 people that are in the Dells area from other countries and don't have a church service. So we did the program remotely. I'll fix the bugs tomorrow, get them out of the show, but I concur with what Mike's saying. Open borders are absolutely the last thing America needs. With the involvement, you see the drug trade, you see the sex trafficking, not to mention the fact I'm sure terrorists find it a nice porous place to come over and prepare for some of the things they might want to do. So we have to support the president, pray for him, and thank you so much for listening to the broadcast. I love listening to it, and I'm part of the production team. So I think it's a very important perspective that Mike gave. I think too many times Christians strain at a gnat and swallow a camel and don't see the purposeful and really positive things that God is doing in this window of time that he's given our country, which we definitely believe is a reprieve, not a pardon. So God bless you. Thank you all for listening to The Light of Truth. If you have a question, send it to lightoftruth.com, and we will have Mike answer those questions. So God bless you. Have a great night. Lord be with you.